At this time of the morning, 20 minutes should have been more than enough to get him into the Lawton Brothers' offices. They were at the top end of Threadneedle Street, handy for the Bank of England, as the senior Lawton brother was fond of telling his prospective clients. Established in the late 80s, the company had boomed through the 90s with everyone else, merging and acquiring, ducking and diving, and gaining a reputation for savage asset stripping that was the envy of its more ethical and kind-hearted competitors. Young executives who survived a few years at Lawton's could survive anywhere. Max's cell phone rang as he was coming down Ludgate Hill. It was just before 6:30. "Taking the morning off, are we?" It was the voice of Amos. He didn't wait for Max to answer. "We need to talk. See if you can get in here by lunchtime. Tracy will tell you the restaurant." So much for my good day, Max thought. Although, if he were honest with himself, no day that included Amos could be entirely good. Mutual dislike had been in the air the instant the two men met, when Amos had swaggered in fresh from spending 3 years in New York to run the London office. From the start, their relationship had been tainted, as is so often the case in England, by the simple difference in the way they spoke English, their accents. Max was the product of a minor public school and had grown up in the leafy, middle-class comfort of the Surrey Hills. Amos was born and raised in the grim outer reaches of South London, neither leafy nor comfortable. In fact, they had grown up less than 20 miles apart, but it might as well have been 20,000. Max liked to think that there was not a trace of snobbery in him. Amos liked to think that he didn't have a chip on his shoulder. They were both wrong. But each had a grudging respect for the other's ability, and so, with difficulty, they tolerated one another. Easing the BMW into its appointed slot in the underground garage, Max tried to guess the reason for today's meeting. Lunch at Lawton's was normally a sandwich at your desk, eyes glued to the screen. Max was still puzzling over it as he stepped out of the elevator and made his way through the rows of partitions to his own cubicle. Max hung up his jacket and got down to work, running the numbers one final time on Transacts and Richardson Bell, the two companies whose charms he was peddling to one of Lawton's larger clients. If the deal went through, it was going to earn him a bonus that was, he had calculated, considerably more than the Prime Minister made in a year. He checked and double-checked, and the right answers came up each time. Now he was ready to present everything to the brothers. They could move in, and he would be 6 figures richer. He leaned back in his chair, stretched, and glanced at his watch. It was past 12 o'clock, and he realized he had no idea where he was supposed to be for lunch. He crossed the floor to where Tracy, a brisk and well-upholstered young woman, was on sentry duty outside the corner office. She had recently been promoted from Amos's secretary to his personal assistant, a step up, so office rumour had it, that was the direct result of a dirty weekend with Amos in Paris. Sadly, promotion had spoiled her, making her cocky and self-important. Max perched on the corner of her desk and nodded toward the empty office. "Are we still on for lunch, or is he busy causing havoc in the stock exchange?" Tracy looked as though she'd like to have given him a ticket for parking in a restricted area. "Mr. Amos will meet you at the Leadenhall Cellars, 12:30 sharp. You're not to be late." Max raised his eyebrows. The Cellars, once a storage depot for the old Leadenhall market, had been turned into a gentrified wine bar. Despite the bare brick walls and the sawdust on the floor, it was one of the city's most expensive restaurants. "He's dipping into his savings, isn't he?" said Max. "Any idea what it's about?" Tracy looked down at her desk and rearranged some papers. "Not a clue." The offhand tone of her voice was unconvincing and, Max found, irritating. "Tracy, there's something I've been dying to ask you." She looked up. "How was Paris?" So it was true. Leaving her to her blushes, Max went back to get his jacket and an umbrella, bracing himself for a dash through the rain to Leadenhall Street. He arrived in the crowded, vaulted room to find Amos already at the table, cell phone to his ear. During his time among the movers and shakers of Wall Street, Amos had picked up some of their more flamboyant sartorial affectations. The aggressively striped shirt with white collar, the scarlet braces, the tie spattered with bulls and bears, decorative flourishes that clashed with his hard, thin-lipped face and convict's haircut. Whatever he wore, he would always look like a thug. But he had a genius for deal-making, and for that he was much loved by the Lawton brothers. He finished his call and made a point of looking at his watch,